One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
So, we have the first official outing of Arne Schlott. You got to roll the R, is what I'm told, as Liverpool manager. And of course, Liverpool can serve him a couple of softballs and a lovely interview, and I have no problem with that. I think doing this kind of soft launch of a manager is a smart thing to do, especially in the modern era. But there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot of comments. There's a lot of people free associating over the last few weeks over what all of this means, what could be coming. Some people so sure of what they know about it sounds too Spanish. I feel like I've not got the Dutch pronunciation. And Arne is apparently not correct. Arne Slot. It just doesn't suit, right? Anyway, let me know what you think in the comments below. I've read some of the comments of the Liverpool video, you know, the official one, which is doing pretty well for itself. I've read all the positivity. I've read all of the hot takes. I've read all the people having a problem with his Ibiza holiday, but not having a problem with it. I've read all the people who have an idea over whether he is Jurgen level or whether he's not, whether he's Pep Guardiola, whether he's Jurgen, whether he's whichever manager you want to, you know, attach to him. By the way, none of these people know. And I wanted to just give my two cents because, you know, for being a Liverpool fan for the best part of 30 years now, I feel like I've picked up some experience. And, you know, transitioning between different eras of Liverpool means that you end up with some experience of managing your expectations, right? And my expectations have definitely changed over the last decade. Because before, and this is something which I think will become a bit of a theme in the next couple of weeks, and we probably just need to get out of our system, before Jurgen Klopp, and it'll be in this period where it's like, Arne's taken over. Hey, do you remember when Jurgen took over? Very different era before Jurgen took over. You'll almost not remember, some people here, the Brendan Rodgers era. An era that I felt very neutral about at the time. I didn't feel particularly connected with the team, although I did still love Liverpool. I'd still like them more than the average. But I didn't love that side in the way that now I understand I love the Jurgen Klopp era. At the time, obviously, I thought I had a lot of affection for them. But you get my point. There's always like this update. There's always this little change. There's always this kind of, oh, did I really love that? No, maybe not. Anyway, Jurgen has repositioned all these expectations for us, not only through the sheer force of will and charisma and force of nature type approach that he has, but also through the adaptation of the club in that time, through the updating of resources. Arne Schlott was interviewed in a beautiful training ground that Jurgen didn't arrive to. He goes into a stadium that was not the same stadium that Jurgen Klopp arrived to. He goes into a commercial environment that Jurgen Klopp did not have the same benefit of having. He goes into a squad that Jurgen Klopp did not arrive to. But there are also other differences between him and Jurgen, right? Jurgen arrived in a time of a crisis of confidence, a crisis of identity for Liverpool, and one where it's fair to say that, you know, we weren't the worst side, but we also weren't the best. And the MO but came to be the best, not only on the field, but off the field as well. And that is now the MO for Arne Slot. And so there are some things when we're unpacking his brand new speech and his new, you know, view that I think we can take from that, right? Like Jurgen Klopp arrived with, you have to completely change this team. You have to turn doubters into believers. That's a massive task. You have to, and by the way, like that, those doubters massively impacted, and that doubt had a big impact on the naivety of the club in the previous era, the shaping of the club, the approach, the attitude, all those things. The believers that these Liverpool fans became, and possibly some of the doubters who stayed doubters or temporarily became believers, will have to get back on this bandwagon with Arne, or maybe not. Point being, he arrives to a very different club, right? And he arrives in a very different package. Jürgen arrived relatively well known, because guess what? Germany and England have quite a good sharing of cultures in the first place. There are a lot of similarities between the two cultures, which seem a lot more obvious because the differences are also so stark in themselves, but the similarities are there. And maybe more than some of the nationalists out there would like to admit, right? But it meant that we had a certain warmth towards Jürgen, and that Jürgen understood the warmth that we had and some of the values that we had, possibly because he'd come from Dortmund, possibly because he came from a specific part of Europe which understands a lot more of the English language, understands a lot more of all those kind of things, right? And the Dutch part of the world, for people who don't understand Holland, can sometimes be a little bit unknowable. I've always found it quite a sort of difficult to 100% get your arms around and understand type culture. Very forward, very forthright. These people don't suffer fools gladly. They'll tell you what they think. They'll be extremely honest. But there does seem to be a westernization to them that maybe, you know, another manager, an American, or, you know, just pick anyone else from, say, a more Latino culture, wouldn't have, and would have a different take on that. Doesn't say they're not capable, you get what I'm saying. And so it's interesting to see where Liverpool have gone with that. It's interesting to see the file in which Liverpool are following, right? And then on top of that, Arne is clearly not of the same profile as Jürgen was at that time. Jürgen came from Dortmund, from a league, one of Europe's top five leagues, sure, but a league that we knew much more about because of Munich, from the Champions League, which we knew much more about because of his run to the final, those kind of things. You can compare league titles and all those kind of things. Jürgen was a big name, someone who was extremely desirable at the time, and not only extremely desirable to Liverpool, but extremely desirable to other people in the league as well. Arne Slot arrives and possibly was on some football manager type level Rolodexes, but was not broadly on other people's Rolodexes, including mine. I wouldn't have put him in the top five Liverpool candidates, because the top five Liverpool candidates before Slot were the sexy, young, cool managers that, you know, would have negated the need for someone, you know, who seems a little bit more pragmatic, a little bit more close to maybe what Klopp is. And it doesn't mean he's not progressive or any of those kind of things. Of course the guy's progressive. But you get what I'm saying. There's a difference in the approach of the average fan wanting a Xabi Alonso or whoever else was in that list, Ruben Amorim, these older brother type, Mourinho-esque appearing kind of, hey, like, look, this suave guy who also happens to be able to manage a team and has everything in hand. Slot seems a little bit more human, a little bit more knowable, a little less bourgeois, and a little more down in the dirt with the rest of us, which I like. I think that endears him. The boldness we can approach another time. I think that's all some trivial comedy thing. Anyway, let's get into the actual speech. What did he say? He was very reverent. He was humble. All these things that the comments seem very sure on. He clearly showed an element of humility, which is obviously something he's going to need to possess following on. And again, in a very stark contrast to what Klopp did, Liverpool were very ready for Klopp. They didn't quite feel as ready to let go of Klopp more recently, though, you know, maybe as we write history, we'll become a little bit more kind of balanced on the way we feel about Klopp. That's not me saying I underestimate him, but you get what I'm saying. I think as time passes, your rose specs maybe get a little bit stronger and then get a little bit weaker at times. You can, as success or negativity or, you know, a lack of success manifests, you can begin to put things into perspective in the same way we could with Brendan Rodgers and Kenny Dalglish and all these guys, right? But the point is, Slot's going to build on a lot of that with what Klopp had, and he said it himself. And within that, and here's the interesting part, it means we don't have to throw the baby out of the bathwater. It means half this squad doesn't need to be gutted. It means that a lot of the foundation that Jurgen Klopp, FSG, Michael Edwards, Richard, and all those guys have built and intend to build will continue. And it seems as if Arne is very cognizant of that. He understands that, right? That's good. That's a very positive trait for a coach. And you will notice his, you know, his title there in that. That's interesting. Anyway, he then, apparently there are rumors that he himself said he didn't want to be announced for a little while. He did want his own holiday, did want his own break. He did want the leave between the end of Feyenoord and the beginning of Liverpool to be a significant amount of time. The time between Jurgen Klopp leaving and his staff moving on into his period as Liverpool manager shouldn't be an immediate announcement. A, smart. B, respectful. Again, C, humble. And D, aware. This guy is aware of what went before him. And the awareness will not only be of the positives, the awareness will also be of some of the negatives. It will be of how some of the players trained with Klopp. And this is my next point with this. I obviously enjoyed all of the, you know, the lip service that he paid, but I think what I was really interested in was hearing him say, I watched tape of previous games and tape of previous training sessions, which is something that it was kind of a moment where the curtain was pulled back. We don't often get that insight. What we often get is he good in a big game environment? We're going to judge him from the 90 minutes that we see. We judge him from almost the end of term test, or the players from the end of term test every week. They've had their week of intensive training, the work they've done, all those kind of things. And we judge from what we can see. And that's fair enough to an extent. We judge on the end product. But what Arne Slot can judge on is the nuances, the day-to-day that he gets with these guys, the direct relationships, the building or the lack of building with some of those guys, or the need to move those people on, or the need to progress their game, or any of those kind of things, or his own roadmap, blueprint, whatever you want to call it for those guys, will become evident in time. And clearly he will already have ideas of that. But what was interesting was him saying, I've watched training, I've watched what they enjoyed about that. I'm not going to, you know, just use Jurgen Klopp's training methods, though he did interestingly note, we do take things from each other. We do not steal, but we do borrow bits from different managers and go, oh, I quite like that. I like the way you've motivated the team, gathered them at the beginning of training. This structure is different. Maybe he'll even deliberately try to be different to Klopp in the way that he sets up training and the way that he begins it, ends it, breaks off different teams, tries to get people to bond in specific ways. All these things are things that managers are constantly thinking about because they're trying to build the best, most bonded group of players, not only emotionally, but also on the field. And I knew that anyway, but I thought it was interesting to hear him acknowledge that. Then it was interesting to hear him say, and obviously there have been all these people going, oh, he's in Ibiza. What can he be doing from Ibiza? Well, guess what? Like, just because you're not directly at your desk, and you know, we'll know this from the past couple of years, doesn't mean you can't be working. Doesn't mean that you probably won't have a hit list of players that you would love to see at the club and a hit list of things that you would like to see done. Be that new contract signed, be that players he's been in contact with, players he's already spoken being about in contact with, Virgil van Dijk, et cetera, et cetera. There are certain players he's taken the time to reach out to, and certain players he'll probably wait to filter back, right?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
But clearly he's not just going to Ibiza and going, well, I'll be Liverpool manager in a little while. Let's see what happens. He said, I've been on the phone with the guys who manage the club. I've been on the phone with the people who will be managing the day-to-day ingoings and outgoings, our long-term future, all these kind of things. And that was fascinating to hear as well. It's great to know that those people have already got boots on the ground. They've already been working their way towards something. And I love to hear that as well. Then on top of that, I think what was interesting was also just hearing how he had been in contact with some of those players. And how he was looking forward to welcoming some of those people back, and then how he was going to construct that group and get those ideas out to specific people within the group, right? So when he's talking about, you know, certain players, I'm going to have to train in certain ways. When that first group gets back, then I'll be putting them through their paces, getting their fitness up, incorporating my original ideas. He said, I'm not all that far away from Jurgen Klopp. But there's my own methods, my own ideas, all these kind of things. Of course, he's not just going to take Jurgen Klopp's methods and go, Trent played here, Virgil played here, Alisson was like this, so we'll play like this. There are two very different characters. There'll be two very different approaches. Jurgen is so high-end, is so premium, because you can't just take those things and go, shall I do those things? It would also be a terrible idea to just go, shall I just do what Jurgen did? Because doing an impression of a previous manager is probably the worst thing. And that leads me on to my other point. We are very careful at the moment as a fan base in our language. And I kind of appreciate it. I think it's nice. We don't want to anoint someone that we are worried, you know, it may not be the very, like, I'm not saying he isn't, but maybe a David Moyes. In terms of the Manchester United situation, David Moyes is a fantastic manager and, of course, deserves all the plaudits. But you get my point with the Moyes comparison. Moyes at United wasn't the fit. Doesn't mean he wasn't good. Doesn't mean he wasn't worthy. Doesn't mean he wasn't any of these things. But it meant he got treated in a way which besmirched a lot of the club's name and probably laid a bit of a blueprint for years after that. Probably wiped away, I mean, you can never wipe away a legacy of Sir Alex Ferguson, but wiped away a lot of the goodwill and momentum that people felt was there. It felt like a bit of a reality check. You don't want to have to go through a reality check if you don't need to. Of course, if you go through a reality check, of course you need to. But the point is, you don't want to needlessly have to go through a reality check. It's much more pleasant to continue to be as smooth as possible, to continue to pass between managers, to continue to pass between eras. And of course, Michael Edwards and everyone else below that will want that to also be as smooth as possible. The players, Edwards, everyone will be very aware of the fact that Arne is the incoming and the incumbent manager, and that they will need to manage that in some way. Anyway, what was interesting then was then looking at some of these quotes. I don't actually think there are any mind-blowing quotes in there. I think it was actually a very soft-touch interview, which I appreciate. I don't think you want your manager to come out and be like, we're going to blow away the previous era, we're going to do this. I think it was very telling that he said we wouldn't want to be third. We want to be slightly higher than that. I think that's fair enough. I think that's also something that maybe if we are being particularly harsh on previous Klopp era, which I don't think we need to be, but if we are being, you know, if we are being critical, it would be that there were times where the team fell away. There were times where we felt like there was probably more, and what else could we have achieved or squeezed out of this team? Of course, there are also times where we squeezed way more than we ever expected to squeeze out of this team, and Jurgen Klopp was the only man who was capable of squeezing all those things out of this team at that point. A, because he was Liverpool manager, but B, because I don't think other managers would have seen some of those factors in some of these players and been able to extract some of those things. What is Arne Slot able to extract from these guys? It's going to be interesting. It's already very telling. And how reserved he is, how non-committal he's been so far. Probably because, guess what? He hasn't met a lot of these guys in real life. Because when was he meant to have? But broadly, like all the things that people say are good, right? Gini Wijnaldum had good words to say about him. Everyone in Holland seems to have something good to say about him. I think Van Gaal said something about him, which was very positive. I quite enjoyed that interview. I think Van Gaal's a very honest, forthright person. Not necessarily always in touch with reality, but it seems as if with these kind of things, he's pretty much got his finger on the pulse. A lot of people seem to say he's a very good coach, someone a lot of people appreciate. But I'll be interested to see whether and how, first of all, whether he's able to create a different culture and continue the positive culture at Liverpool, but also whether that's necessarily 100% his responsibility as coach. You'd imagine it is as head coach, but whether it is 100% his responsibility and whether that becomes like whether Liverpool set a different precedent as to how they change the culture and how they create the culture will be interesting to see. There was somewhat of a void left when Sir Alex Ferguson left Manchester United. There was somewhat of a void left when certain managers leave teams. There was a worry, of course, when Bill Shankly left Liverpool that there would be a void left. And of course, Bob Paisley picked up a lot of that mantle. He was also himself very humble. He was also himself someone who wouldn't necessarily have, you know, put himself as the top candidate for the job at the time, though in the end he emerged as being that. And I guess what I would finish this off with is you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. There will be some eggs broken in this process. It's not me saying, hey, this guy's got to go, that guy's got to go. I'd imagine there'll be videos where I will make where I can say, hey, if I was to move a player on, it might be this guy, because I have this idea that I would love to play this specific centre midfielder or this specific right winger or this particular left winger. And of course, speculating over transfers is always fun. That's part of sport. The possibility and the marriage of possibility and reality are, of course, a massive part of this. So yeah, expect to hear some of that. That's not me scaremongering. That's just me saying, hey, what's possible here? An anti-environment is often interesting. But the point is, when Paisley came in, and I can't remember the player, I think it was a South African guy, might have been. There was a player that was very much in the team under, oh, what was his name? Was it Borman? It might have been. Anyway, there's a player that was very much in the team under Shankly, and they're very much not in the team under Paisley, because I think they sold him basically the first season that Paisley got in. Anyway, he was very critical of Paisley more recently. And Bob Paisley is one of the greatest European managers of all time, one of the greatest Liverpool managers, if not the greatest Liverpool manager of all time, probably just behind Bill from what he achieved in his, you know, turning the club around. And he's on the Mount Rushmore for Liverpool, put it that way. But you know, therefore, and especially in modern media, there are going to be people who aren't happy with the amount of playing time they have, with the involvement that they have, with their pay, playtime, but specific rollout on the field, all these kind of things. And that's interesting, right? Because obviously then we'll see the investment of the players, we'll see the investment of the fans in those players. And again, it's kind of a moment of reality. Are you as big as the club, or is the club bigger than you, or is Arnie bigger than you, or are you bigger than Arnie, or, you know, all these kind of things. I don't think anyone's bigger than Arnie at this point. If Arnie Slot was to say, that guy's got to go tomorrow, I think most people would say, okay, this is your plan for the next couple of years. It would be weird if he said that, because again, he's head coach. He's not Edwards or anyone below him. But I'd imagine those conversations happen at some point. It's like, I want to be able to play this style of football. I need this kind of guy. There's a reality there. Anyway, he's not broken any of these eggs yet. But there will be eggs to break in the next couple of years. Or there would be golden geese that we have to pass on to be someone else's golden goose. Or whatever, producer. And life happened. Like, believe me, looking back on the last 30 years of Liverpool support, life happens. You want to preserve these moments. You want to keep them going forever. You want to keep ride that wave as long as you can. But at the same time, sometimes moving on, sometimes a change can feel good. But you got to go through some of that pain in order to get to the other side. It's been an interesting one. I'd love to know what your guys' thoughts were about that first press conference. I thought, not press conference, chat, as Liverpool manager. He looks so different. But remember, we're comparing Arne Slot now, roughly similar in age, about 3 years difference between him and when Jurgen Klopp joined. I think he's 3 years younger than when Klopp joined. And it's interesting just to see the difference between the two of them, right? But also the similarities. Klopp, how fresh he looked when he came in. Slot, how fresh he looks when he comes in. Klopp, how father figure-like he looks. And how he's kind of changed into that over time, probably just due to age and, you know, hormones and all those kind of things. But also the role he took on at Liverpool, the person he, the space he inhabited, felt different. And of course, one thing I loved about Slot, and I'll finish on this because I've probably gone on way too long, because yeah, 22 minutes is too long for a YouTube video. What I really love is when people go, oh, look at the similarities between these cities. I've never been to Feyenoord as a game. I've never been outside of Amsterdam, in Holland, I don't think, in the Netherlands. But I love finding new cities that have similarities between Liverpool. I love Liverpool, I love Marseille, I love Naples. For you, it's Liverpool, Marseille, Naples, right? Now I've got Feyenoord up here, because Slot laid some of it out. Port City, working class people. Not that many of those working class people particularly think they relate to me in the first place. Appreciative of hard work, appreciative of the similar values to Liverpool, appreciative of some of those values that we hold dear to us, appreciative of the same song, appreciative of managers that come in and give what Slot gave, and probably would have been appreciative of what Klopp gave to Liverpool. It's a nice exchange of values there. There's a nice exchange of cultures. There's something that's common, a commonality between those things. Guess what? We felt that with Klopp. We felt that with Dortmund. We still feel that with Klopp. We still feel that with Dortmund. We still feel that with loads of other clubs out there in Europe. But weirdly, each of those clubs uniquely finds a way to approach those things, because being working class and having the specific people that went through your port shaped you. Being a port is not the key. The people that go through that port are the key. Listen up, guys. That is that's an STD tip, if ever I heard one. Anyway, you get my point. I hope that some of this has helped you guys unpack some of how you're feeling about Slot. I'd imagine you've watched a lot of analysis videos. I've watched so many different people's analysis videos. I love Panenka TV. I think they're really good. They do some of my videos before I've kind of had the time to do them sometimes. Not that they're taking them, but just I like their thought process. I think there's a couple of other people doing good stuff right now. It's lovely to see, because I love to see the space evolve. It's frustrating sometimes as a creator, because you're like, I would have loved to have made that video. I could still make that video and I'll do a slight spin on it. But you get what I'm saying. There are a lot of videos to come. Which player would you like to see me review or preview as a possible transfer to Liverpool? Are we talking Kvaratskhelia, whatever you want to call him? Are we talking Yoro? It doesn't look possible. Are we talking his first signing? Are we talking like who could be the six for us alongside Endo in a rotating thing? Is it by Bajsetic? Let me know. I hope you guys enjoyed this. It's good to be back, just making a couple of videos. I was thinking of making something about the Euros. We got a little Jota. We got a little Szoboszlai looking frustrated. We got a little Trent playing. A couple of players out there. Let me know what you think. What do you think of the Euros? Join the Discord. It's down there. Appreciate you guys. Chat to you later. Much love. Bye. Great first press conference, by the way. Arne, we're behind you. But you knew that. I didn't need to say that. That's the point. You don't need me to rally the troops. I'm just a fan. Of course I'd love to rally the troops, but I am just a fan. See you guys in a little while. Much love. Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.